Our next case this morning is Cassidy versus Roberts. And you may proceed when you're ready.
Morning, the police court.
Good morning.
The nature of this case is an appeal from April 3rd, 2023. Order of Buffalo County District Court affirming an ex parte protection order. The issues tried to the court were whether the ex parte protection order in favor of Rachel Cassidy, Merrick Cassidy, and Clayton Roberts should be affirmed. Trial court dismissed the protection order in favor of Rachel and Merrick and affirmed the protection order as it relates to Clayton, the little boy. Trial court erred by granting the protection order. The petition lacked particularity under Nebraska Revised Statute 42-924. Trial court erred by affirming the ex parte as it relates to Clayton Roberts by failing to consider the factors enumerated in Maria on behalf of Leslie. My argument, by granting the protection order as the petition lacked particularity, in this case, Ms. Cassidy's petition affidavit contained the domestic abuse protection order does not contain any particularities or specifics of attempting to cause or intentionally or knowingly causing bodily injury to anyone. For today's argument, Clayton.
Well, didn't the application referenced an event that led to a criminal case? Is that correct?
That's right.
All right. And then in the hearing, did Ms. Cassidy testify to what those events were?
She did, but these events were so far removed from the time of this hearing. It happened in there that multiple.
And I'm not talking about the later events. Except only, I mean, all we're talking about now is just the events that relate specifically to the boy.
That's correct. That's
but, right. But did she not testify to him being beaten by your client?
Well, my position is that Ms. Cassidy didn't describe any credible threats that Amos, the father, had toward any family member, specifically Clayton. Her petition mentions alleged harm or abuse only twice, but with no specificity.
Was this argument made to the trial court, the lack of particularity in the pleading?
Yes. Ms. Cassidy also testified about an incident at the hearing with popcorn, and someone could have been burned. This was speculation. The objection was sustained at the hearing. In Buddha, Buddha on behalf of Buddha, be humble, gives us some guidance. Too general, the allegations were too general to support the finding that protection order should be issued. And these allegations in this particular case, in my opinion, are simply conclusions. They do not sufficiently state that the children have been willfully or maliciously harassed or abused. In Buddha, the case was reversed, remanded with directions to dismiss, which is what we're asking the court to do here.
Well, are you arguing that the court could not take into account the testimony at the hearing in making its decision?
I do, but I don't believe it rose to the level of imminent threat of danger or harm to the minor child, and I don't believe that.
Okay. So the real issue is whether there's a risk of future harm. Is that what you're saying?
I agree.
Okay.
Sure. So, you know, I think there are different remedies that are required when there has been isolated acts of abuse that is unlikely to reoccur. And I don't think there is testimony that there was patterns of conduct. And so as compared to like an egregious act of abuse preceded by a pattern of abuse. So the only evidence presented of any domestic violence among the family members was that it occurred on one occasion, which led us to the ex parte.
And that was 4 months after the event, wasn't it, that the petition was filed?
Correct, and then sometime after that when we had the hearing. Mm-hmm. And so the temporal nexus between the need and the act, I don't think.
What role does it play that your client at some point after the allegation of abuse, the event that led to the criminal charge, he was allowed by the court to, under his bond conditions, to be back with the rest of the family.
Correct.
But he was under, there were conditions on that.
Sure.
In terms of what he could and couldn't do. He couldn't be alone with the children, things like that. That all remained in place right up to about the time of this hearing. Is that correct?
True.
So, I mean, how does that weigh into to this track record? Because he's been under basically court supervision the whole time.
Well, so you have the county, the county court that modified the bond to allow contact, and there was no pattern of conduct that continued to establish the imminent threat of danger of harm or need for a continued protection order. The ex parte was simply a period. I think the ex parte lacked sufficient particularity, and it was not close enough in time for the need to have the protection. And my client, and there was no further abuse during the time that he was allowed contact. He was allowed contact, and I agree with you that he's under the court's thumb, but he could have still committed some sort of abuse.
And he didn't.
And he didn't.
In fact, he got counseling and anger management classes.
Jumped through all the hoops.
Yeah.
Did everything that he needed to do. And so, and that's the heart of the issue, is that the child was not an imminent threat of danger or harm. Does not need a protection order. Protection order because the individual is, the individual who, or the respondent would have a pattern of domestic abuse, which was not shown.
Was there evidence after this popcorn incident that the child was frightened?
No.
Because the mom tried to remove the kids from the house and there was an argument.
Maybe there was an argument between the family members, but there certainly wasn't any testimony that this caused the child to be in, or somehow touched the child's brain to be scared of father. And I think the testimony of Mr. Rob or of Amos was that it was an accident. The popcorn had fallen on the ground and he removed himself from the situation and went and had a Pepsi Cola and just sat back and relaxed and then went and cleaned it up. So, and that's another, that's more evidence of the lack of specificity. These allegations could have been burned. The speculative, I'm in fear of something that could happen, but nothing has happened. It was, and I believe my client provided sufficient evidence to show at the hearing why the order should not remain in effect.
Did the court have, we tend to argue this as that the protection order needed to stay in place just as it was, or it needed to be dismissed. Are there middle options that the court could have exercised? Could the court come somewhere in between?
And protection orders, I think I've seen the court use broad discretion in allowing the protection order to remain in place so long as there's a supervisor. I think the court may have been able to do that. Or I see courts do things like that. I've never seen it appealed to whether or not it's appropriate, mm-hmm. but I think they could add in certain provisions. We have motions to modify protection orders all the time. For various reasons, contact, to follow other orders of custody and visitation. But back to Maria, in this case, I think the court wrote that it intended to consider such factors, but chose to vaguely consider only a select few of them. I think the trial court should have additionally directed its attention to the listed factors in Maria, which discussed in detail in my brief, remoteness, the severity, the nature, the frequency of past abuse, the past or pending credible threats of harm, psychological impact of domestic abuse, potential impact on the parent-child relationship, the nuances of the household relationships, which were significant, And the trial court did not consider the above factors, as the court did in Maria. But if it had, I believe the reasonable outcome would have been for the court to find, in consideration of the totality of the evidence, the majority of the factors lean significantly in favor of rescinding the protection order. So I think the court should remand with instructions to rescind the protection order. And the order dated April 3rd of 23 does not conform to Nebraska law, is not supported by competent evidence. The appellate Amos Roberts requests the court remand instructions to reverse the protection order.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Counsel?
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Mark Bustle. I represent Ms. Cassidy in this appeal. And I'm going to stand up because I think better on my feet, I guess. And I'm just used to doing that when I argue. And you know, driving here this morning, I realized that maybe this wasn't really addressed in the briefs, but you know, as to Mr. Glass's sort of first argument that there is insufficient allegations in the petition, but he's sort of wanting to rely on the result of the hearing to negate the fact that there's all kinds of allegations in the petition itself. So if we're starting at the point where there hasn't been a hearing yet, we've got to look at that entire petition and not just these couple of allegations as to the only person that the ex parte order was affirmed to. And that entirety of that petition alleges sexual abuse, alleges incidents that cause the children to cry, does reference the criminal case that's ongoing, and not only contrary to Mr. Glass's statement, it was not raised at trial. It was never brought up that there's something wrong with this petition that should have just been dismissed from the outset. He never raised it until the appeal. I argue that in my brief, that's an inappropriate time to raise the insufficiency of the petition. And this case is unlike the case that he relies on for that. This is not the Buddha case that he's talking about. That case didn't have a bill of exceptions, for one thing. Whoever did the appeal there didn't forward the complete record to the court. So the court was left to only look at the petition. Here there was a hearing and evidence was put on. And evidence was put on by Mr. Glass for his client. And Mr. Glass did not contest any of the evidence. Mr. Glass did not contest the fact that there was a criminal conviction, and that came in without objection. Well, the petition came in without objection.
Let's talk about the sufficiency of the evidence. Okay. And there's no dispute that an event occurred, a criminal case was prosecuted, but it was 4 months before the filing of this petition for a protection order. Is that right?
That's right.
So where's the course of conduct? Where's the pattern? Was there any other evidence of abuse of this child?
Well, I think course of conduct and pattern comes in the harassment mm-hmm. area of a protection order. It's not necessary for a domestic abuse.
Understand, but do we need something more than this one event that's remote to show a risk of future harm?
Well, the court found that it wasn't remote. The trial court said, that this was recent. I mean, 4 months, and during that time, there had been a no contact order that had been removed. So that remoteness, I guess, having to confront and be in the room with the person that beat you was new. And that, so I agree with the trial court that this was pretty contemporary.
So is it your argument that that's enough, that one event is enough to have the protection order in place?
I think the Maria A case supports that. Mm-hmm. Usually the showing of the abuse is enough, and you don't have to go through all those other factors. The court did, however, go through those factors, mm-hmm. And I think particularly talked about the dynamics of the household, that this was an abusive household, that there was problems going on here, and that was one of the specific findings was that this would, psychological impact on the child, and that the sort of the history of what had been going on in the household, did find a risk of future harm. And of course, I don't know what Mr. Glass would want to to prove a risk of future harm unless the respondent had said, I'm going to harm you in the future, you're always going to have to infer that from behavior. Mm-hmm. And this was described as a beating. This was not, and that was not contested. Mr. Glass did not cross-examine that statement and say, what do you mean by a beating? I think that means, I think we all have an understanding of what that means. This man beat his son, and that is enough. That is domestic abuse sufficient to obtain a protection order.
How does it play in, though, that your client agreed to have the no-contact order lifted and allowed contact back with the child?
Well, I think that goes back to the dynamics of the family and what was going on there, and that the evidence was that neither child was ever alone with the respondent after that. She was always there while he was there. So he was not left alone with them to curb, that risk. Does that mean he's not going to do anything? I mean, he had restrictions that he couldn't physically punish the children, so there was real consequences if he were to do something during that period of time while he was on probation. And of course he's not going to do that. He jumped through the hoops. That's great. Just like Mr. Glass described, does that mean he's not a risk of harm to his children because he went to a class? I don't think so. There was no evidence presented that he had learned anything from that or what he learned. No testimony that it had altered his personality in a way that would make him not a risk of harm. This is a preponderance standard, more likely than not. And I think in a case where someone has beat their child, that more likely than not, they pose a risk of harm to their child.
Let me ask you the same question I asked Mr. Glass. Did the court have options to fashion a result that was not either leaving the protection order as is or dismissing the protection order? Was there something in between that the court could have done?
I don't believe so. I think the protection, and I too have seen situations where trial court judges have sort of, taken steps that should be in a protection order that should actually be dealt with in a custody order. I think that statutes allow for, it's injunctive relief, and so it's very specific relief. So why it's a form that is filled out by both the petitioner and the judge when they enter these orders.
But the form has some blank lines in it, right?
It does. It does, but I think, I don't know how you order a protection order in place and then say, oh, but you can see the child.
Well, similar to what was done in probation or the criminal case, have no time alone, have a supervisor, those kinds of things. Could that not have been done so this father and son could have some contact? Work toward, establishing or reestablishing a relationship?
Possibly. I have not seen those issues come up on appeal either, so I don't have, what does you or the Nebraska Supreme Court think of that? I would just say, in my experience doing these for the last 20 years or so, is that the court would prefer to make those kinds of orders in another case. And usually what I've seen is that in the protection order it will say subject to, but that's in a case where the protection order is granted in favor of the parent and not dealing with the child. Here we have the situation where the person protected by the protection order is the child. And so those kind of provisions that he's talking about are things that I've seen that deal with keeping the parent safe who is the subject of the protection order rather than to facilitate visitation and things like that.
And we don't have another case in this situation, do we? A custody case?
There's no record of that for the court.
Well, there was a paternity case, but there's no there was no custody order in that. Is that right?
I believe that was the case, yes.
All right.
So I disagree that I think that the petition was sufficient to warrant a hearing. I think having the hearing and putting on evidence without any objections to the petition or the evidence sort of waives Mr. Glass's argument about any problems with the petition. And I think the trial court considered and weighed the evidence and knew what was going on and could listen to the testimony and made the right decision to affirm a protection order as to the son. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. How much time is remaining for Mr. Glass?
None, thank you.
Overtime, sorry. Thank you, counsel. Your case is submitted. You're excused. We appreciate your appearance here today. And I guess, Mr. Glass, you